This is Stuart Molina, music director of the Harrisburg Symphony Orchestra. It's been a while since I've podcasted or blogged, but I'm back, and this blog will talk about Ellen Taef Zwillich's Prologue and Variations for String Orchestra, which is the opening piece of our first Masterworks concert of 2007. Zwillich is a master craftsman. She's able to create a world of musical ideas and implied harmonies and stay consistently within that while creating a wide variety of sound and lyrical lines. This piece is not tonal in that it doesn't deal with diatonic harmonies, major and minor chords, and the eight-note scale that you'd find on the white keys of the piano. But the piece is certainly not without harmony. What she does is gives us musical ideas in the opening section that imply a harmony, and she stays absolutely consistent through the piece with these ideas and with that implied harmony. Zwillich, in her own words, describes the prologue as an introduction of musical ideas which are the characters that will unfold the drama in the variations. And these characters are presented right at the beginning of the piece. Those of you who listened to my podcast about the Nielsen Fourth Symphony will remember that I talked a lot about the half step and how the half step determines the difference between a major chord and a minor chord by where the third is. So, a minor chord with the change of a half step becomes a major chord. In this piece, she's also dealing with the half step, as well as other intervals. At the beginning, she's dealing with the half step as changing an octave to a major seventh. And so the opening motive is a very simple melody, which defines this major seventh octave schism. And she ends it with a descending third, a minor third, and then another half step. This is also going to be important because that minor third with the half step becomes a major third. So there's your minor third. That's a major third. In this opening melody, she's given us pretty much all of the tools that she is going to use to create the piece. And so in listening to this piece, you're going to hear a lot of harmonies that sound like this. Major sevenths. Major chords with a minor third. Minor thirds with a major third, and other intervals of the same thing. Combinations of major sevenths and thirds, etc., etc. You're also going to hear a lot of thirds alone. But we'll get to that in a little bit. The prologue is slow, but within this slow tempo, there are three increments of slowness, beginning very slow, then picking up a little bit, picking up still further, and then coming back to the intermediate tempo and ending in the slow tempo. I would just like to play you a few parts of the prologue because they're going to come to bear later on in the piece. The opening phrase ends like this, and you'll hear descending thirds at the end of this phrase. So again, the descending thirds, going back and forth from major thirds to minor thirds, that's going to be an important motive later in the piece. The middle tempo, the fastest of the three tempos, begins like this. Etc. I play this because you're going to hear a lot of this kind of motive as we get into the variations. We also hear a melody in the first violins with that same accompaniment, but now in a much higher place pitch-wise, and it sounds like this. Again, this melody will come back later on in the piece. So, again, here are our ideas. We have that half-step major seventh idea, the descending third, minor, and major, a descending set of thirds, repeated thirds, and melodies on top. The last element of this prologue is the very end, where she ends the piece seemingly in A minor. She gives us music that sounds like this. But then she changes the third. Are we in A major? Well, she also then above, way high. So we have again, major, and minor. And this is how she ends the prologue, with this major-minor, strange major-third, minor-third combination. So after this extended prologue, a little bit melancholy, certainly with a lot of variety and a lot of motivic material, she jumps into the variations. The variations are, she says there are four, but actually the fourth of the variations is really almost a restatement of the prologue. In the first variation, things change dramatically from melancholy and drawn out to extremely fast and exciting. And she begins this with the violins playing just that descending third line very quickly, and then that explodes into the opening motive. This is what it sounds like. So again, descending thirds, and then we add at the beginning, and now we have. And this goes on for a while with, again, playing around with this minor third idea. And it continues. In the bass, we have another idea introduced, which is the idea of these thirds in the lower register. Remember, we had... Well, now we have them presented as very powerful chords between the cello and the bass. Not chords, thirds. And the third element that she brings back is this major-minor chord. So we have a lot of chords that sound like this. What is this chord? Well, if you take out the violas, it's a very simple B major chord. But she adds that minor third, the D natural, and creates, again, this Zwillick world of major-minor. So the first variation goes on for a while in this very frenetic, crazed kind of feeling, and it stops abruptly. After a big explosion of everybody playing very, very fast, we reach a statement again of the major-minor chord, this time in an inversion, and we have a transition melody. And we get to the second variation, which is slow, ponderous, and lyrical. In this variation, we have almost an ostinato, which is a motive that repeats all the time. And I say almost because there are a couple of moments in the variation where this ostinato stops. But generally, we're hearing the violas or later the violins playing. That opening melody, but now as a triplet. And this triplet is placed over the cellos and the basses, which adds the major minor harmony. And over this simple ostinato, very soft pattern, we have the melody that she presented in the prologue. Very high and lyrical in the violin. And so on. One other element that she adds in this movement, in this variation, is a filling in of the third. So if we have a major third, she fills it in with this pattern. And then again. Just adds a little bit of variety for now. But as you'll hear, it comes back in the third variation as a motive unto itself. And the transition to the fourth movement is what's called an accelerando, a speeding up, but it happens very compactly in the course of one measure from the lowest strings to the highest, and again, sounding like the second movement. And now we're into the third variation. And the third variation uses that motive as well as the alternation of thirds and this new motive which she gave us before. And she presents them in various combinations with each other to create a very exciting, kind of puckish and devilish movement with a lot of excitement, a lot of nervous energy, and a great deal of humor as well. If she's talking about characters, this would be the mischief maker. And when the third variation ends, she gives us the same transition music that she gave us going into the second variation. And this, in turn, returns us to the prologue material. And we have an extended epilogue where she brings the same elements back, a lot of the same material, culminating in a major minor chord again from the bass. Minor third, and this explodes into one final statement reminiscent of the second and fourth variations, and then the piece ends as the prologue ended, with a chord that alternates from seemingly minor to the addition of the major. And on this ambiguous chord, this wonderful short work for string orchestra comes to a close.